Hey guys, today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking to Cindy Gallup. She is the CEO and founder of Make Love Not Porn. She talks about being pro-porn, pro-sex, and knowing the difference. She's spoken on a TEDx talk that went viral back in 2009 on how pornography has distorted the way our generation and young men think about sex. She's incredibly passionate about creating a world where we're able to talk to our children about sex and actually get them to get that distinction of what is sex, what is porn, and what is it like when you know, young children as young as 6 or 8 come into contact with pornography and how that changes their experiences of their own body. Very powerful conversation, very powerful woman. I really hope you enjoy this podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the New Paradigm Intimacy podcast. I'm here with the lovely Cindy Gallup today, and she is the founder and CEO of Make Love Not Porn. Hey Cindy, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Awesome. So I brought Cindy on today because she actually shares a very similar passion for me of how we actually start to see sex moving from this kind of escapism and release from reality and actually becoming a part of how do we create sex to actually allow us to go on our journey of life and explore more of who we are. So I'd love to hear from you, Cindy. Tell us a little bit about the Make Love Not Porn idea. How did this come to you? You know, what is it that you're passionate about with this?
Sure. So Make Love Not Porn is a complete and total accident. I never consciously intentionally set out to do anything I very bizarrely find myself doing now. It came about through my direct personal experience dating younger men. So the men I date tend to be in their 20s. And about 12 or 13 years ago now, I began realizing through dating younger men that I was encountering an issue that would never have crossed my mind if I had not encountered it very intimately and personally. I realized I was experiencing what happens when two things converge. And I stress the dual convergence because most people think it's only one thing. I realized I was experiencing what happens when today's total freedom of access to hardcore porn online meets our society's equally total reluctance to talk openly and honestly about sex. Mm-hmm. It's when those two factors converge that porn becomes sex education by default in not a good way. So I found myself encountering a number of sexual behavioral memes in bed. I went, whoa, I know where that behavior is coming from. I thought, gosh, if I'm experiencing this, other people must be as well. I didn't know that because 12, 13 years ago, nobody was talking about this. Nobody was writing about this. This was me in complete isolation as a naturally action-oriented person going, I want to do something about this. So 11 years ago, I put up on no money a tiny clunky website at makelovenotporn.com that in its original iteration was just words. The construct was porn world versus real world. Here's what happens in the porn world. Here's what really happens in the real world. I launched that TED conference in 2009. I was the very first person 11 years ago to stand up on a stage and publicly identify this issue of porn as sex ed. I was also the first TED speaker ever to say the words, come on my face, on the TED stage. 6 times of pressure. The talk went viral as a result, and it drove this extraordinary global response to my tiny website that I had never anticipated. And I realized I'd uncovered a huge global social issue. Mm. Thousands of people wrote to me from every country in the world, young and old, male and female, straight and gay, pouring their hearts out. And so I felt that I now had a responsibility to take Make Love Not Porn forwards in a way that would make it much more far-reaching, helpful, and effective. Mm-hmm. And I also saw an opportunity to do what I believe in very strongly, which is that the future of business is doing good and making money simultaneously. I saw the opportunity for a big business solution to this huge untapped global need. And I use the word big advisedly, Victoria, because even then, 11 years ago at concept stage, I knew if I wanted to counter the global impact of porn as default sex ed, I would have to come up with something that at least had the potential one day to be just as mass, just as mainstream, and just as all pervasive in our society as porn currently is. So thinking big right from the get-go. And so what I decided to do was, I always emphasize that Make Love Not Porn is not anti-porn because the issue isn't porn. The issue is that we don't talk about sex in the real world. If we did, amongst the host of other benefits, people would then bring a real world mindset when they view what is simply performative produced entertainment. And so our tagline at Make Love Not Porn is pro-sex, pro-porn, pro-knowing the difference. And our mission is one thing only, which is to help make it easier for every single person in the world to talk openly and honestly about sex. And I do that in two respects. A, in the public domain, and by that I mean parents to children, teachers to schools, everyone to everyone. But B, and even more importantly, to talk about sex openly and honestly, privately, in your intimate relationships. And the reason that's so key is, because we don't talk about sex, it is an area of rampant insecurity for every single one of us. We all get vulnerable when we get naked. Sexual ego is very fragile. People therefore find it bizarrely difficult to talk about sex with the people they're actually having it with while they're actually having it. Because in that situation, you're terrified that if you say anything at all about what's happening, if you comment on the action in any way at all, you will potentially hurt the other person's feelings, mm-hmm. put them off you, derail the encounter, potentially derail the entire relationship. But at the same time, you want to please your partner. You want to make them happy. Everybody wants to be good in bed. Nobody knows exactly what that means. And so you will seize your cues on how to do that in any way you can. Mm-hmm. And if the only cues you've ever seen are in porn, because your parents didn't talk to you about sex, because your school didn't teach you, because your friends aren't honest, those are the cues you're going to take to not very good effect. So given this mission of talk about it, I decided to take every dynamic in social media and apply them to this one area no other social network or platform will go in order to socialize sex and to make real world sex and talking about it socially acceptable and therefore ultimately just as socially shareable as anything else we share on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram. So, 8 years ago now, my tiny team and I launched the first stage of this vision, makelovenotporn.tv, which is an entirely user-generated, crowdsourced video sharing platform that celebrates real-world sex. So anybody from anywhere in the world can submit to us videos of themselves having real-world sex, but we're very clear what we mean by this. We are not porn. We are not amateur. We are building a whole new category on the internet that has never before existed, social sex. So our competition isn't porn, it's Facebook and YouTube, or rather it would be if Facebook and YouTube allowed you to socially, sexually self-express, which obviously don't. So social sex videos on Make Love Not Porn are not about performing for the camera. They're just about doing what you already do on every other social platform in every other part of life. Capture what goes on in the real world as it happens spontaneously in all its funny, messy, glorious, silly, comical, wonderful humanness. We curate to make sure of that. I designed Make Love Not Porn around human curation, very important. Our curators watch every single video submitted from beginning to end. We don't publish it unless it's real. And we have a revenue sharing business model. Our members pay to subscribe, rent and stream social sex videos. Half the income goes to our contributors, whom we call our Make Love Not Porn stars.
Wow. It's amazing. And how's that experience been for you as a business owner? Has it been easeful to work in that way? Because I feel like that's very uncommon to be able to offer the contributors that kind of profit share in what you're creating.
Well, I have to tell you, Victoria, the one thing I did not realize when I embarked on this venture was that I and my tiny team would fight an enormous battle every single day to build it, essentially because every piece of business infrastructure any other tech startup just gets to take for granted, we can't. The small print always says no adult content. And this is all pervasive across every single area of the business in ways that people outside the sphere don't realize. I can't get funded. I can't get banked. It took me 4 years to find one bank here in America that would allow me to open a business bank account for Make Love Not Porn. Every tech service I need to operate my video streaming platform, be it hosting, encoding, encrypting, the terms of service always say no adult content. In every single case, I have to go to the people at the top of the company, explain what I'm doing, beg to be allowed to use their service. Sometimes they let me, some of them don't. It's a very labor-intensive process. Our biggest operational challenge is payments. PayPal won't work with adult content. Stripe can't, mainstream credit card processors won't. We had to build our entire video sharing, video streaming platform from scratch ourselves as proprietary technology, because existing streaming services will not stream adult content. Even something as apparently simple as sending out our membership emails. MailChimp won't work with adult content. Rejected by 6 or 7, we found one who would. 2 years ago, I put a very standard UX designer contract job description up on a job board here called Upwork. 20 minutes later, Upwork took it down and told us we were not allowed to advertise jobs on their board because we're Make Love Not Porn. Every single thing is a battle. And so the biggest thing we have to celebrate at Make Love Not Porn is that 8 years later, we're still here, because the tech and business world's been trying to shut us down every single day. And that gives you some idea of the traction we have and how much the world wants us in a world where 70% of all startups fail within the first 5 years, and we're still going.
Goosebumps. That's just like, I feel you on all of those things. Like, I've come up against very, very similar stuff. PayPal, Square, I've been shut down from so many different things, and I don't use the word porn in any of my work.
Victoria, here's an infuriating thing about it, okay, because here's what I designed Make Love Not Porn to do that makes it literally criminal that investors won't fund me and that I'm not allowed to do business openly. When I say that our single-minded mission is this very simple thing, to make it easier for everyone to talk about sex, because we don't do that currently, people don't get how massively, profoundly, societally transformative that would be. And here's what I mean. I designed Make Love Not Porn around my own beliefs and philosophies, one of which is that everything in life starts with you and your values. And so I regularly ask people this question: what are your sexual values? And nobody can ever answer me, because we're not taught to think like that. Our parents bring us up to have good manners, work ethic, sense of responsibility, accountability. Nobody ever brings us up to behave well in bed. Mm-hmm. But they should, because in bed, values like empathy, sensitivity, generosity, kindness, honesty, respect are as important as those values are in every other area of our lives where we are actively taught to exercise them. So here is my vision for a world in which Make Love Not Porn is finally funded to achieve our social mission at scale. Parents will bring their children up openly to have good sexual values and good sexual behavior in the same way that they currently bring children up to have good values and behavior in every other area of life. We will therefore cease to bring up rapists, because the only way that you end rape culture, and by the way, Victoria, this really is the only way, is by inculcating in society an openly talked about, promoted, operated, and very importantly, aspired to gold standard of what constitutes good sexual values and good sexual behavior. When we do that, we also end Me Too. We end sexual harassment, abuse, violence, all areas where the perpetrators currently rely on the fact that we do not talk about sex to ensure victims will never speak up, never go to authorities, never tell anybody. When we end that, we massively empower women and girls worldwide. When we do that, we create a far happier world for everybody, including men. And when we do that, we are one step closer to world peace. I talk about Make Love Not Porn as an attempt to bring about world peace, and I'm not joking. And so in that sense, Victoria, what we're doing could not be more relevant in the era of Me Too. Because right now, quite rightly, everybody is talking about consent. Everybody is writing about consent. There are lots of thoughtful, nuanced, insightful think pieces out there about consent. Here's the problem. Nobody knows what consent actually looks like in bed. The only way you educate people as to what is great consensual communicative sex good sexual values and good sexual behavior is by watching people actually having that kind of sex. And Make Love Not Porn is the only place on the internet where you can do that. Every single one of our videos is an object lesson in consent, communication, good sexual values and behavior. We are literally education through demonstration. And so we call ourselves the social sex revolution. The revolutionary part is not the sex, it's the social.
Are you ready for a career that lights you up, helps you serve humanity, and assists in a global shift around sex, love, and relating? Did you know that sexuality development is one of the fastest growing industries right now? The Institute of New Paradigm Intimacy is a course in cutting-edge sexual wellness education, business, and leadership. Utilizing the self-pleasure modality created by Victoria Redbard to have clients access freedom and connection in all areas of life. If you're feeling the pull to explore more, head to victoriaredbard.com/podcast. It's so powerful. Yeah, I love that topic that you're actually broaching as well. It's like this piece around, you know, how to actually move through this Me Too campaign and move through this rapist piece, because it's such a big topic that I think is like not spoken about either. It's like we have all these people going, okay, if the victims come out and speak about what's happened to them, it's going to change something. But it's almost like, for me, it's like that's just step one. You know, it's like, yes, the victim needs to be seen and heard. And then, you know, what are we doing with this rapist? What are we doing with these perpetrators? Because for me, they're just as much the victim. And it's just like being able to actually bring that conversation into reality is such a challenge in where we're stuck with inside of this culture. And I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on what's going to happen when we actually create this space for the conversation of like the level of, you know, the reason that these people are rapists. You know, when are we going to start to unpack that? And what does that look like inside of your revolution?
So the point is, I designed Make Love Not Porn to end rape culture. That's our mission, okay? And we end rape culture, as I said, when we talk openly and honestly about sex in the real world. Because it's only when we do that, that we bring everybody up publicly, openly, and aspirationally to want to operate good sexual values and good sexual behavior. I'm about ending rape culture before it even begins. And so, you know, at Make Love Not Porn, I mean, we obviously have to be more legal than legal. We are for over 18s only, but we have parents writing to us regularly telling us that they have bought subscriptions for their teenage and their 20-something children so their children can see what open, healthy, happy, consensual, loving, communicative sex looks like. And by the way, you know, Victoria, it's worth highlighting because we are so fucked up as a society about sex that I and Make Love Not Porn do not get enough credit for what we do and how we do it. And I want to contextualize our platform in the broader framework of the world as a whole, because the young white male founders of the giant tech platforms that dominate our lives today are not the primary targets, online and offline, of harassment, abuse, racism, sexual assault, violence, rape, revenge porn. Therefore, they did not, and they do not, design for the prevention of any of those things. Those of us who are most at risk every single day, women, Black people, people of color, LGBTQ, the disabled, we design safe spaces and safe experiences. I and my team spent literally years concepting designing Make Love Not Porn before we ever built it, because we knew that if we were going to invite people to do something they've never done before, socially share their real world sex, we had to think through every possible ramification of that to create a completely safe and trustworthy space. As a result, not only do we operate unlike anybody else in the adult sphere, we operate unlike anybody else on the internet, full stop. And you know, one of the things that is key to that is, as I said to you earlier, I designed Make Love Not Porn around something nobody else does, but everybody should: human curation. So not only do our curators watch every single video submitted from beginning to end before we decide to publish it, our curators review every single post on what we call Make Love Not Porn social, which is the ability on your profile on Make Love Not Porn to post text, photography, art, illustration. It can be as safe work or not safe work as you like, but we review every single post before we agree to publish it. We review every single comment on every single video before we publish it. And that is why Make Love Not Porn is a platform where we celebrate nothing but love. We feature nothing but love. We showcase nothing but love. We are all about love. And we are, ironically, for a real world sex sharing platform, probably the safest place on the internet because of that.
It's powerful. Mm. Yeah, I can really feel that. I can feel that what you guys are creating is, you know, a space for all ages. And I think that's something that, you know, we're really missing inside of the space of pornography, especially, and like the ability to allow young people to have access to being able to see something online. I think it's a really, you know, potent space for people to start working towards, because, you know, it's happening anyway. Like, these sites are so accessible for everybody nowadays. It's like, unless we have those alternatives, like, nothing's going to change in our society.
No, exactly. And you know, what I'd like to do, Victoria, if it's okay with you, is I'd like to read you just one email we got from a member. Because Make Love Not Porn is an utterly unique venture, and we therefore have an utterly unique capability. We have the power to change people's sexual attitudes and behavior for the better. In a truly extraordinary way. I'd like to read you this this one email, because honestly, it blew us all away when we received it. And it really demonstrates how much good we're doing. So when I read this to you, imagine if we were funded to operate at the same scale as Facebook of social sex. So this man wrote to us, this was towards the end of last year, and he headed his email, "This has helped." He said, "So usually when people give feedback, they say, I don't normally do this. This is true for me to write an actual email. I apologize if I may be long. I found out about your website via a story on playboy.com. I've been an avid reader of Playboy for almost 15 years now. I'm 35 years old and a very single straight male, working at a factory in a very small town in the American Midwest. As I've gotten older, the one thing I felt that I've been missing is some type of connection when viewing porn. My habits have always been go to Pornhub, search a video, boom, done. That changed when I was watching one of the videos on here. I don't think I've ever seen something that I was so taken aback by. It was intimate. It was two people you saw an actual connection with. It made me question my own viewing habits right now, which is a good thing, I feel, in terms of growth. I also feel the need to speak about the need for males like myself to talk about how they feel. I feel like for the first time, I want to confront my own issues with sex and my own sexual health, which in all honesty is not good at all. Dating has been non-existent for years, mainly due to me being so busy for most of my life with working three jobs to survive, that I never really got a chance like I do now to try to understand why. All of this came about with your website. I'm very grateful to kind of start a new journey here, to try to understand myself more. I want to thank you guys for this. I feel this has kind of been a nice wake up call. Thanks again." Wow, right?
Yeah, imagine if everybody came to that kind of understanding. Yep. Huge. Well, I absolutely adore your mission, Cindy. This is really powerful. It's been an absolute pleasure to connect with you. I want to ask you if you have anything that you feel that you want to share with the listeners of, like, you know, what would you share with somebody who wanted to introduce pornography to their children? Like, what's the conversation starter to move with that?
Sure. No, I'm very glad you asked Victoria, because parents write to us all the time. And by the way, what is infuriating is that I've been trying to raise funding for 6 years now, for an expansion of Make Love Not Porn into sex education. And nobody will fund me. Okay, my biggest obstacle raising funding is the social dynamic I call fear of what other people will think. which operates around sex, unlike another area. So the parents write to us all the time. And what I say to them is, two very important things. The first is, I say to parents, today you cannot begin talking to your child about sex too early. And when I say that, I don't mean talk about sex. What I mean is, the very first time your child asks where babies come from, touches their genitals, the most important thing isn't even what you say as much as how you say it. Never get visibly embarrassed. Never get flustered. Never shut them up. Never end the conversation. Instead, answer them calmly, straightforwardly, honestly, truthfully, and you will open up a channel of communication that will always be there for you and them in all the years to come. And then the second thing I say to parents is, today, when you talk to your child about sex, you must also, at the same time, talk to them about porn. And it's a lot easier to do that than most parents realize, because all you have to do is some version of what I'm about to give you, and you just dial it up or down depending on the age of the child. So you say something along the lines of, so darling, we've just talked about sex. And you know how together we watch videos and movies and cartoons where things happen that aren't real? Well, there are also movies and videos about sex, and they're not real either. And because of that, they can be quite confusing. And so we'd rather you did not watch them till you're older. But if you ever come across anything like that, or if anybody shows you something like that, come and tell us about it. We can explain it. And that's all you have to say, because you have then done two very important things. Number one, you have set up in their minds, when they stumble across porn as they will, that it's not real. And number two, you have said, come and talk to us about it. And that's incredibly important, because in a world where now the average age which children come across porn on the internet is 8 years old, and in fact, a global study done 6-7 years ago indicated then that age had dropped to 6, that first exposure to porn can be utterly traumatizing. You want them to come and talk to you about it. So that's all you have to do.
Wow. Yeah, that's very early statistics. Huge. Like, mind blown, and I work on this stuff every single day. It's just, it's beautiful to hear so much of what you're actually doing in the world. And thank you for everything you're bringing. And I hope that our listeners will head over to the website. We'll make sure that we put that in the bio. I'll definitely be heading over there right now to check it out.
Fantastic. Well, by the way, Victoria, funnily enough, in 30 minutes, you can turn on Channel 4 and you can watch the final episode of their series, Generation Porn, featuring me and Make Love Not Porn.
Oh, amazing. Well, congratulations. That's powerful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Cindy. I'm super grateful.
An absolute pleasure, and love the work that you're doing. We cannot have too many of us.
Totally.
Coming at this entire area in too many different ways, because as I always say to people, Victoria, Make Love Not Porn and your work, Make Love Not Porn operates in the single biggest market of them all. Not porn, not sex, the market of human happiness.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I look forward to speaking to you over the next few years and just watching how it all unfolds.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Best of luck with everything you're doing. Take
care. Likewise. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.